So this is morning reflection time, but I think this is going to be a little bit more like a Dhamma talk. And then you're going to have the death meditation this afternoon. And this evening we'll be answering questions or filling in with whatever time we have for more Dhamma sharing. And we'll probably do something similar tomorrow. So just keep the questions coming, and we'll look at them. And this morning, actually, I'm going to be answering a question also. It's really the nature of this, what I have in mind. But I think I'll start with sharing a little bit about my morning so far. You know, some of you know, because you visited us, that our hermitage is pretty small. I mean, it's on 14 and a half acres of redwood forest land, and it has a creek running through it, and it's a kind of a long, narrow property that, you know, goes down to the creek and then kind of goes up on both sides. And it's beautiful, and it's pretty rustic. And so turning it into a hermitage for bhikkhunis to live and lay people to come and visit is quite the process. So we have these building projects. And there's stuff going on there right now that, you know, we're kind of always got a whole bunch of list of things that need to be done and arranged. And this morning I woke up at about 4:30, which is not that unusual for me, but it was with a very distinct dream. Somehow at the Hermitage we had procured 29 elephants. And they were being delivered. And I'm looking at the list, and I'm thinking, and I'm saying, what? Weren't there supposed to be 30? And I'm saying, we're going to have to build a fence. Sorry, we're going to have to build a fence. We don't have enough water. Yeah. So I woke up. And then ran into my buddy downstairs, and I told her what had happened. And she said, you gotta put down those burdens. My whole thing about, is it heavy? Yeah. So during morning meditation, I had a hard time not breaking out into laughter. Should have been there. So I really do want to come back to the burden for a minute and just talk about one part of it, and then also answer a question that came through. And in that sutta, the burden, there's a sequence that's really common in the suttas where the Buddha talks about putting the burden down, and there's this sequence, and it's the fading away and cessation of that very same craving with nothing left over, giving it away, letting it go, releasing it, and not adhering to it. And there's this compound word in Pali here, asesa viraga nirodo. And that's where you get this fading away and cessation with nothing left over. Asesa is nothing left over. Viraga is the opposite of raga, which is passion. And viraga is dispassion, or it can also mean fading away. In fact, the kind of list in the dictionary is, it's the absence of raga, dispassionateness, indifference towards, disgust, absence of desire, destruction of passions, waning, fading away, cleansing, purifying, emancipation, arahantship. So this is kind of, you get to get the sense of this word, viraga. And then the nirodha part is cessation. So this is the way the Buddha talked about how we put down the burden, how we let go of our craving, how we experience a process of losing our attachment to the things of this world, all things impermanent that bring dukkha and are not self. Then we come to the question that I attempted to answer the other night, which is, could you say more about how to watch the khandhas fade away? So it's very similar, right? It's like the five aggregates, body, feeling, perception, mental activity or mental formations or volitional formations, that's sankhara. It's a tough word to define, and consciousness. And how do you watch that fade away? So fading away, I'm thinking viraga. And that's how I answered the question that night. But I invited the questioner to let me know what they had in mind, and I got a follow-up, which was great. And it says, in Sutta Nikaya 2289, the sutta is called Kemaka, that's the name of the monk involved, and it talks about the origin and the ending, or the rising and falling of the aggregates. So I pulled the sutta out, and I want to share it with you, and talk about how it is that we do this. So this is a really, it's a lovely story, and it's one that I refer to every now and again because there's a very crucial element to it, and some of you might already know this. But here's how it goes. So there's this monk named Kemaka who's very sick. And this phrase you'll find in a number of suttas where they're talking about somebody who's really sick, they're probably about to die. And he was sick, suffering, gravely ill. And of course, in the suttas, sometimes people recover and sometimes they don't. They pass away. So we're at that stage, though, where it's pretty serious. And late in the afternoon, the senior mendicants come out of their daily meditation and they talk to this one monk, Dasaka, and they say, go to visit Kemaka. So these senior monks are living in one place, and the Kemaka, who's sick, is a bit further away. And this is a large group of monks. We find out at the end that it's a pretty large group of senior monks. And they tell this One monk, Dasaka, maybe he was more junior, not sure, but probably, to go to see Kemaka and with this message, we hope you're keeping well, we hope you're all right, we hope your pain is fading and not growing, that it's fading is evident and it's not growing. So Dasaka goes to see Venerable Kemaka and he tells him this message, and Venerable Kemaka says, I'm not doing well, and I'm not all right, and my pain is not getting better. It's terrible, and it's growing, and it's not fading, and it's very obvious that this is getting worse. So, of course, Venerable Dasaka came back to the elders and told them what was going on with Venerable Kemaka, and then they said, well, go to him and say that these five grasping aggregates have been taught by the Buddha, and it lists them. So the suttas are very, like, methodical and repetitive. That's why I'm telling you the story instead of reading it, so it's not quite as involved. But so these five aggregates this is the question for Venerable Kemaka. Do you regard anything among these five grasping aggregates as self or as belonging to a self? Now, the reason it's translated here as grasping aggregates is because the word is actually upadana khanda. It's really like the put together, it's the khandas and it's grasping or clinging. So the point of the Buddha was making is that these five things, and sometimes it's easy in the beginning when you're faced with this to just think about the body or feeling. Those mental ones are a little harder to get your hands on, but you know your body and your feelings, you probably relate to them. You know, even the way we talk, I'm angry, or I'm sad, or whatever it is. You know, we really identify with how we feel. And we also really identify with this physical body. You look in the mirror and it's like, that's me. Well, nowadays I look in the mirror and I go, who's that old lady? Because, you know, you don't see you're that from the inside. You still feel like, well, maybe not, but you know. but in any case, we really identify with these khandhas, and there's this grasping and clinging, this identification, this is me and mine, and so this is why the Buddha talked about them in this way. Upadana khanda. So they say to him, so, you know, do you regard any of these as self or as belonging to self? Dasaka runs over, talks to Venerable Kemaka, and gives him the message, and Venerable Kemaka says, I do not regard anything among these five aggregates, grasping aggregates, as self or as belonging to self. So Venerable Dasaka goes back to the elders and he tells them, and they go, well then, if he doesn't regard any of these as self or as belonging to self, then he is a perfected one. He's enlightened. He's an arahant. The defilements are ended. And they want him to go tell Kemaka this. I know. Like, how many times, dude? So, when Venerable Dasaka comes in and tells this to Venerable Kemaka, Venerable Kemaka says, it's really true that I don't regard any of these things as self or as belonging to a self, but I'm not an arahant. And I'm not yet rid of the conceit I am. So But I don't regard anything as I am this. So if you kind of see that distinction, it's like there's still this sense of I am, but I'm not any of that. So then Venerable Dasika goes to the senior monks and he tells them what happened, and they say, go to the Venerable Kemaka and say to him, when you say I am, what is it that you're talking about? Is it form or apart from, you know, is it the body or is it apart from body? Or form is even more general. It's just like form, everything. Is it form or is it apart from form, etc., with the other aggregates, feeling, perception, mental activity or consciousness? Or is it apart from that? Is it separate from that? What is this I am you're talking about? So when Venerable Dasika tells this to Venerable Kemaka, Venerable Kemaka is like, enough! What's the point of this running back and forth? Bring me my staff. So brings him his staff. He's going over. Can I talk to these guys with their questions? Okay, so he gets there. And he sits down, he greets them, sits down, and then they say, when you say I am, what is it you're talking about? And they repeat that same question. And he says, I'm not saying I am with reference to form or apart from form, you know, like form or not. I'm not saying I am with reference to feeling, perception. What I'm reading here is Bhante Sujato's translation. So when he gets to sankhara, he calls it choices. I'm still warming up to this. But that idea of choices or volitional formations in the mind, consciousness, or anything apart from them. For when it comes to the five grasping aggregates, I'm not rid of the conceit I am, but I don't regard anything as I am this. And he said, it's like the scent of the blue or a pink or a white lotus. Would it be right to say that the scent belongs to the petals or the stalk or the pistil? And they say, well, no. Well, then how would you say it? What does it belong to? And the elders say, well, it would be right to say that the scent belongs to the flower. And he said, that's the same way. I don't say I am with reference to any of these aggregates, but I'm not rid of the conceit I am. I just don't regard any of those as I'm this. Although a noble disciple has given up the five lower fetters, so he's obviously a non-returner. Is that right? He's given up the five lower fetters. He's not an arahant yet. So the five lower fetters drop away. The first three drop away when you're a stream enterer. And when you get to non-returner, you lose two more. But there's still five that go away when you become an arahant. And one of those is this idea that I am. It's very, very like late in the game. That actually completely dissolves. So he says, when one has given up the five lower fetters, they still have a lingering residue of this conceit I am, the desire I am, because those five fetters also include the desire, the maybe even subtle longing to be reborn, either in a material realm or a fine material or heaven realm or immaterial realm. And the underlying tendency, I am. So it's like something that might even seem very subtle under the surface, but it could be, you know, kind of arise again. And that's not yet been eradicated. After some time, now this is where we get to the question. After some time, they meditate observing the rise and fall in the five grasping aggregates. And the word here that's translated as meditate could also be translated as contemplate, which is the way Bhikkhu Bodhi translates it. So here what Venerable Kamaka is saying is, okay, you're at this place where he's identifying himself to be. He really gets that he hasn't dropped that yet. And he's talking about how to go about it. So this is what our questioner wants to know. It's like, how do you go about letting that go? And what he's saying here is you contemplate the arising, the falling of the five aggregates. And so he's, you know, it's the body, feeling, etc. And then as you're contemplating, said as they do so, that lingering residue is eradicated. And then he uses this simile, again with a scent. He says, suppose there was a cloth that was dirty and soiled. So the owner gives it to a launderer, and the launderer kneads it thoroughly with salt, lye, and cow dung. They didn't have like cheer. Or I don't know what they call it these days. I think I've been like the commercials in my mind are from 40 years ago or something. Anyway, you get the idea, you know, like salt, lye, cow dung, that's what you use to clean your clothes. And they rinse it in clear water. Although the cloth is clean and bright, it still has a lingering scent of salt, lye, or cow dung. How would you like to get your laundry back? And then, because, you know, that has not yet been, that lingering scent has not yet been eradicated. And the launderer returns it to the owners, and they store it in a fragrant casket, like a box that's got some fragrance in it. And that lingering scent would then be eradicated. In the same way, although a noble disciple has given up the five lower fetters, they still have a lingering residue of that conceit, I am, and the desire, I am, and the underlying tendency, I am, which has not been eradicated. But after they meditate, contemplate, on the rise and fall of the five aggregates, then they do experience the eradication of that lingering residue. And then just to finish the story, the senior monks are like, hey, we didn't really mean to bother you. But you've got this incredible capability of explaining, teaching, and asserting, and establishing, clarifying, analyzing, and revealing the Buddha's instructions in detail. And that's just what you've done here. And then the last paragraph says, that's what the Venerable Kamaka said. Satisfied, the senior mendicants were happy with what the Venerable Kamaka said. And while this discourse was being spoken, the minds of 60 senior mendicants and of Venerable Kamaka were freed from defilements by not grasping. In other words, they all became arahants. Or at least 60 of them. I don't know how many elders were there, but so the question, how do you do that?
Yeah, there's like 24 of us here.
Good point. We've got our chance. Don't laugh.
No.
The other translations you might have for rising and falling are like, if I look at this word, that they're using in Pali for rising and falling is Udayabhaya Nupasi. This is another compound. I love the way Pali and Sanskrit, they just smoosh words together and suddenly you get this whole concept. And that Udaya can be rise, growth, increment, increase. It can even go kind of monetary, you know, income, the revenue, interest, and bhaya. So udaya bhaya. Bhaya is the decrease. So you've got increase and decrease, rise and fall, even birth and death, up and down. So udaya bhaya. And so it's, when you think about how do we contemplate this, I think part of it can be putting some attention on the fading away, which is the first way that we thought about it. That's how I got over into the fading away, being that fading away of passion and, you know. But in this case, it's really recognizing the impermanence itself of these khandhas. And it's not an intellectual process of reasoning through it, it's contemplating. So it's like they don't use the word viraga here, and they're using this word contemplation. And so it's not quite the same thing as that sequence of becoming disillusioned or disenchanted. Sometimes the word there, I know people who I think have probably experienced this who can't bear with the word disenchantment because they say it's not strong enough. But to really be disillusioned about, you know, clinging to anything in this world, and then the dispassion comes, and the cessation comes, and, you know, so that sequence is a little bit different. This here is just focusing on how can I really experience directly that birth and death of the aggregates, that increase and decrease of the aggregates, so that what happens is a realization, a direct experience of impermanence that will lead to disillusion, dispassion, cessation, nibbana. So it's easier with the body and feeling, probably, where we really, but then it also can happen with those mental aggregates, because we really are supporting the mind in being very present. Like I said, maybe first of all with the body, really seeing how it decreases, breaks down, you know, looking at any lifespan. I don't know if you've ever seen these drawings, like I've seen this in Asia, a number of times there'll be these line drawings of a little baby, and then, you know, a little older, and, you know, like middle years, you know, nice and straight, like they're walking along, and then the old person, and, you know, like it's just like you just see those stages of life of a living being, and it's always the same. And we somehow need to bring the mind, it's like talking about death, we need to bring the mind directly to this reality. Because it doesn't, you know, the Buddha said over and over, like in our chanting, the Dhamma doesn't come through reasoning, it comes through direct experience. This is how really, this is how that subtle conceit, I am, can fall away. We can't, like, make it go away. We can't convince ourselves to not feel that. We can only do it through realization. And all we can do there, we can't. Now, today I'm going to realize. It doesn't work like that. But all we can do is keep putting in the causes and conditions. And that's why, you know, even these very elder monks, even with Venerable Kamika's incredible ability to explicate the Dhamma, he's just talking about, you just have to really contemplate how this comes and goes. It comes and goes. Whatever aggregate you put your attention on, it comes and it goes. What are you going to cling to? It comes and it goes. Cling to any of that, there's going to be disappointment. So I'll just leave you with, for your morning reflection, this encouragement to be willing to let the mind become still with that intention in the background of observing, of really contemplating without thinking about it, that how it comes and it goes. Body, feeling, perception, consciousness, and every kind of, you know, mental activity. And then, what is there ever to get upset about? It just comes and it goes. And the really amazing and quite surprising result to that realization, like I said before, is joy.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.